First thing we're going to look at is your handout. Sorry, I have a number of handouts here that I'm keeping track of. But the Bible study tools handout, it looks like this, a little bit larger print. And we're reviewing a study tool today, and we're reviewing the Bible Explorer's Guide, written by John Phillips. Years ago, Pastor Bill called John Phillips. He was in an Acts class that I was taking, and he interviewed John Phillips, and he said, what, John has died since then, but he said, what led you to write? And he said, well, a lot of other people give themselves to other things in life. And he said, I wanted to give myself to something that would touch lives way after I'm gone. So he said, instead of going and playing golf like some pastors do, I write. And boy, we are the benefits of his writing. Anything he has put his hand to that I've read is just solid, solid material. He has a whole commentary set. He has reference books on Bible characters. Tremendous. But he's put this book out, Bible Explorer's Guide, How to Understand and Interpret the Bible. And I just want to give you the benefits of using that resource and how to use that resource this morning. And so if we're up there, these are some things about the book. If you open the book and you look at the table of contents, you'll find that it's divided into two parts. One is hermeneutics. That's rules for interpretation. Now, later in this class, we're going to teach through some basic rules of interpretation, and those are vital. Hermeneutics, how to study, or rules for Bible interpretation are very, very important to you interpreting the Bible correctly. Right now, I'm preaching through Revelation on Sunday evenings. Do you understand there's a whole type of interpretation that will have Revelation saying things that you could only dream up after you ate 8 slices of pizza before you went to bed? Yeah. All right? Just because the rules of interpretation are off. And so this book is very helpful. It's very practical in the rules of interpretation. That is worth your time. Don't look at those chapters if you got this and say, well, I'll just skip over those. Boy, those are worth your time to understand the rules of interpretation. And then the other part of the book, the second part of the book, is outlined as helps for Bible studies. So there are some things in the book that are helps for Bible study. Most of the chapters in this book are short and succinct. I like books like that. I like to be able to read something that has 4, 5, 6 pages, good substance, and then, wow, I accomplished something. I got a chapter read today. Some books I read have 30 pages in a chapter, and I don't feel like I ever get anything accomplished. But that's a benefit of this particular book. It has great chapters on the dispensations. Without going into a lot of detail there, that idea of Scripture means that there are stewardships of time throughout the Scripture. The time of innocence before the fall, and then the time of man and sin, and then you got other time frames, 7 dispensations. And Brother Phillips does a good job at explaining those. If you're unfamiliar with those, that's a good chapter to read. The covenants, always hard for me to understand. And if you read the wrong person on the covenants, you can get really messed up. But Phillips is right. He interprets correctly on that. And so these are things that may be cloudy to you or may be something that you shy away from, but Phillips addresses it in a layman's language that you can understand it. Third chapter that is really, really helpful is the figures of speech in Scripture. So those of you, if we could go all the way back to our English days, we learned different kinds of speech, figures of speech, like, no pun intended, like a metaphor. Okay? So those of you that don't remember what a metaphor is, it's a comparison in a sentence where like or as is used. And so he'll cover that, and he'll cover the importance of those in the text, all the different kinds of figures of speech that you can observe. Remember, we're talking about mining out as much as we can when we read a passage of Scripture. And so that chapter is going to help you in understanding the figures of speech. Numerology in the Bible is very interesting. Numbers have a meaning. Generally, that number 7 is a number of completion in the Scripture. The number 8 is a number of new beginnings in the Scripture. The number 6 is incomplete and man's number, right? And so if you take time to read the chapter on Numbers, he's going to go through and help you to understand the use of numbers in the Scripture. Very, very helpful. And then when we get into the practical helps, overall survey of the Bible, just take you through some of these. Here's his table of contents. Here's the hermeneutics. Here's the helps. You probably can't see all of the chapters just because of the size of print. But this is Old Testament, and this is part of the survey. And he's going to give you the survey in the a whole Bible survey in just 17 pages, which is quite amazing that you can get an overview of the whole Bible in 17 pages. So he's working through the patriarchs here in this page and Genesis. And then he's going to give you a chronology of Old Testament history, Bible history. Here's the date before Christ. And when we have the date before Christ, we go all the way back to creation, some 4,000 years before Christ. And we work all the way back to Christ, birth of Christ, 0 or AD 1, right in there. And then 2,000 years after that. Well, he's going to work that all the way back and give you all the major things that happen in Bible history and then things that happen in world history as well. Very, very helpful chart there. These are symbols in the Bible. He has a chapter on symbols. And so he says here, he'll talk about bear. Here's bear in the Scripture, B-E-A-R. And a powerful and destructive foe. It particularly symbolizes the Persian Empire. Numbers of symbols, and then what those symbols represent in the Scripture. Again, very, very, very helpful information as you're studying the Scriptures. And I wish I could have that blown up bigger, but it at least gives you an idea. And so, summary of Bible history, symbols, summary of Bible names. Different Bible names that you can go to, you can look at. And boy, he did all of that in a book of less than 300 pages. And just very, very well put together. And I would recommend, if you didn't get that resource, I definitely would recommend you having that as part of your study library, because it's a very, very helpful tool. And so part of the class is to make sure that we review the things, the tools that you have, so you know how to use those tools. Take out your handout. The stapled handout this morning that you have. If I can get all my papers arranged right. This handout is in conjunction with the My Observations handout, but we'll deal with this one in Sunday school this morning, okay? And hopefully you can begin to put to use this one as we deal with this in depth. Hopefully you can begin to work on observations. Some of you are already giving me feedback. You've already started this. And you're getting things out of the Scriptures, looking at different things and learning to dig. And remember last week's illustration of learning to turn over different stones. We talked about looking for crawdads and the importance of turning over stones. And so when we're studying the Scripture, theme for the church this year, we are learning to develop a mindset to turn over stones to see what light God gives us from studying, investigating the Scripture. That being said, we're in Psalm 119, and we're in verse number 18. Psalm 119 and verse number 18. And the Bible says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Now notice, this is a prayer, right? The psalmist is talking to the Lord. Last week we dealt with heart preparation, and you have those things reviewed here. We prepare our heart, we make it ready, if you remember. We establish it in a direction that is tender, that is yielded, that is ready to obey God. We do that by personal cleansing. It's important that we approach the Bible with a prepared heart. That means we take time to cleanse our hearts. We do it through personal discipline. We talked about early and we talked about daily. Those things are part of me making myself ready to learn the Word of God. And then we do it through personal prayer, okay? Through personal prayer. And here in Psalm 119, verse number 18, the psalmist has this prayer: "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold, that I may see wondrous things out of thy law." There's a heart dependence upon the Lord when we study the scriptures to say, "Lord, I need you to give me understanding. Open my eyes that I can understand what you want to say to me today." Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This is a very special dynamic for a believer. You understand what we're talking about here is not available to an unbeliever. The understanding of the scriptures, with the exception of the gospel message. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, if you look at verse number 14, "But the natural man," that's in contrast to the spiritual man in this text, all right? It's also in contrast to the carnal man in chapter number 3. So we have three different individuals described here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. We have a natural man, that's a person without the Spirit of God. Right? They're unregenerate. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're lost. Spiritual things, they can't have any hunger for. They're dead. Natural man. All right? Carnal man. Carnal man, somebody that's believer, but living like a natural man. Carnal man has a disconnected relationship with the Spirit of God. All right? Carnal man is following his flesh, living according to the flesh. Saved? Yes. Living for God? No. Close relationship with God? No. Hearing the Spirit of God? No. Right? He's carnal. Spiritual man over here. Spiritual man, saved person. All right? Knows the Lord as a Savior. And is seeking to do the will of God and seeking to know God and is in contact with God's Spirit. Spiritual relationship with the Spirit. Hey, it's a good time to think this morning. Where are you at? Everybody here is in one of those three categories. Everybody's either in a spiritual relationship with God, that is, the Spirit ministers to you. You yield to the Spirit. You're seeking to follow God in your life. You're not perfect. Nobody here is perfect. But you hear the Spirit. When the Spirit convicts you of something, you confess it, as Brother Warren talked, and repent of it. And you're trying to keep this right relationship with God. You're interested in that. Or carnal. The flesh means more to you than anything. And you're not in a good relationship with the Spirit of God. Or natural, you have no relationship with God. You've never taken Christ as your Savior by faith. And so you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. and therefore you can't hear the Spirit of God except conviction of sin to bring you to Christ. All right? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice the natural man in verse 14 receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What are the things of the Spirit of God? The Bible. The Spirit speaks through the Word. All right? It's a real serious evaluation if in your life you don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Now, I understand there are some difficult passages in Scripture to work through, aren't there? And sometimes, boy, I need some help. Somebody needs to guide me a little bit in understanding this. But if you can sit in a service and not understand what's being explained, if you can read your Bible and never get anything out of your Bible, never hear the Spirit of God say, wow, you know, I didn't understand that when God asked Adam and Eve, did thou eat, that was an opportunity for repentance. Boy, God, you give me opportunities for repentance. That's what hit me this morning when Brother Warren was speaking. I listened to that and I thought, boy, I didn't realize that God opens up opportunities for me to repent. The Spirit of God, that's for you. All right? If you don't hear from the Spirit, my friend, then we're no longer in three different places. We're in one of two places. I either have a broken relationship with the Spirit, I'm living a carnal life, or I'm not a believer. Because the natural man receiveth not, the Bible says, the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't receive them. So if we have somebody unsaved come here and they're living a gay lifestyle, you understand their natural bend is not to receive the truth of the Word of God on that matter, right? So there's the receiving here is an attitude of the heart that says, no, thank you. But notice what else the Bible says here. For they are foolishness unto him, that's his view, their silliness, they're a waste of time, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when we're talking about praying and saying, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, you understand that can only come from a spiritual man. A natural man can't pray that, because this passage, 1 Corinthians 2, shows us the dependence that we have on the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. And the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit is that he's the one that takes the words of Scripture and brings them to your heart. Christian, don't take that for granted. Don't every time you go into the Word think that it all depends upon you. That's why your prayer time, that's why this verse is critical. That before you go into the Word, would you declare your dependence upon God and say, God, I need your Spirit to accomplish his work of illuminating and helping me to understand truth that's going to help me in my life. Look at verse number 14, end of it. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Truth is, if you're a spiritual person, there should be some things that are characteristic about you and your relationship with the Word. Number one, you ought to be receptive. The natural man receiveth not. But the indication here is that we as spiritual individuals, if we're in tune with the Spirit of God, if we're living a life that's pleasing to God and obedient, we have the mind of Christ. Boy, there's a hunger to want to receive the things and the ability to understand the things of the Spirit. Notice if you get into chapter 3, the carnal, I can't do much else than go back and feed you with milk. Like, I got to keep rehearsing the same things with you because you just don't move from the carnal to the spiritual. A Baptist church could be filled with carnal people. I'll give you this. In my days of carnality in my life, the Word of God is not important to me. You can't be carnal and have a hunger for the Word. Those two don't go together. If your hunger for the Word is lacking, your relationship with the Spirit is suffering. You need to repair a relationship with the Spirit. You need to talk to the Spirit of God and say, where did I go wrong? Where have I grieved you, quenched you? And Lord, would you please reveal that to me, because I'm seeing some symptoms here in my life that are not good. And that's important. We're talking about Bible study. We're talking about heart prep. And this is vital that we pray. And we ask the Lord to open our eyes. Maybe you're used to having devotions, but you're not used to praying and asking God to open your eyes. Would you take something home with you today? Would you do it this week before you open the Scriptures? Would you do what the psalmist did in Psalm 119, verse number 18, and say, God, today I'm going to put some time into our relationship. I'm going to open your Word, but God, I need you to illuminate me. I need you to make sense of the light, to bring light into my life through the entrance of your words. Would you make sense of them for me? Would you give me understanding of how they apply? A couple passages there on your handout. Study to show thyself approved unto God, theme verse for the year. Shun profane and vain babblings. Notice there are words to no profit in verse number 14, and then there's study in verse number 15, and then there's fruitless discussions, or shun profane and vain babblings, in verse number 16. All of us choose time, our time, as to what we give ourselves to. You can give yourself to words that create strife that are of no profit. That's the biblical terminology here. Charging them, this is Timothy receiving instruction from the Spirit, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. That's wasted time. That's futile. That's spiritually unprofitable. Be careful what you get into that way. A lot of that happens online today. Stay away from that. Resist the urge to get in the comment section and stir it up more. All right? Don't waste time there. All right? Instead, study. Shut the internet off and pull out your King James Bible and study. Have some study tools. Get your Strong's Concordance, or you might use an app on your phone to help with a study of a word or a passage or commentary. But spend time there. You say, preacher, that's your opinion. No, it's not. It's Bible. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Shun those things. You're going to study, then you're going to shun. Every week, Thursdays, Fridays, part of Saturdays, Wednesdays, I give time to study for the church. On top of that, I have personal study that I do in my devotions. But when I have those times of study, I block out other things. I don't answer the phone a lot during those times. I may, if I'm in an administrative mode, be looking at my phone and taking care of things that people are needing or whatever. But when I'm in study, I don't look at my phone every minute. I put my phone away, and maybe every hour, maybe every 2 hours, I check it. So if you're calling me on a Thursday or Friday and I don't answer my phone, it's not because I'm ignoring you. Just you can probably understand, oh, pastor's in study. He'll get back to me when he checks his phone. You have to shun some things to have time for study. You understand that's a spiritual principle here in the text. They tested in Acts 17, the benefit of study is that they tested everything by their study. In Acts 17:11, on your handout, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Oh, there's heart prep. And searched, examined, asked questions. They discerned, they judged the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't just read, they searched. They investigated. They took a magnifying glass to the scriptures. They looked at the words. And so with that, there's some tools here that I've given that I want to make reference to. And then there's a basic plan attached in your notes for daily Bible study and devotions. And I'm not going to go over that. That's more of a handout for you to go over. Neither do I want you to think that, you know, boy, in order to study, I've got to fulfill 55 things. But there are some key things there in that list of a basic plan. Begin with prayer. Start with the Bible, not supplements. Have a plan for Bible study, a reading plan or a devotional supplement or you're going to study a book or a character or a topic. Have a daily time and a place, as we talked about some different things there. But learn your books of the Bible. If we're starting out very basic and somebody that just gotten saved and you want to study the Bible, first step is learn the books of the Bible. When we worked with Jeremy and Sarah in their home and worked in personal discipleship a while back, part of that time together was just working through the books of the Bible. Like, okay, let's just work through Genesis through Deuteronomy this week. And, you know, if they don't have any background in the scriptures or very little, that's important for them to be able to follow along in a sermon. It's important for them to be able to look up a chapter if they're cross-referencing a verse. And so that may sound basic to you, but if you don't know the books of the Bible, that's a great starting point. Start with the books of the Bible. And then I would recommend a good study Bible. We gave you a handout last week on that, on a good study Bible. Remember, as I said on Wednesday night, I wouldn't depend upon my study Bible for doctrine or standards. These guys are writing from, but there's a lot of good in a study Bible, but you still have to be discerning. There's still man's notes. And so anywhere you're reading man's notes, you have to be discerning. But I would get a good study Bible that has cross references, that has a concordance in the back that you can look up words, that has maps, that maybe has some notes on the passage that you're working with. And there's a handout back there. Pastor Bill did a fantastic job for us in summarizing all the different kinds of main study Bibles that are out there. I definitely would have a Strong's Concordance or a Cruden's Concordance where I can look up a word, I can find the meaning of it in the Hebrew or the Greek. It may shed some more light on that particular word. Power Bible, My Sword, I've explained My Sword to our church on the phone. But Power Bible is a Bible program that down the road in this class, I'm going to show you on PowerPoint how to get around on it. My father's put out a handout on that. And very, very helpful tool, a Bible dictionary where you can look up names, where you can look up places, meanings of things. Very helpful. A journal where you can make some notes and marking pens or pencils, and I have both. And if you really want to get into it, I'll show you how I use those. But prepare. Have your tools nearby. Goals for Bible study, to know God, to know God's will, to grow spiritually, to help others, to attain God's approval, to become a workman in the Bible, to rightly divide the word of truth, and to be prepared for all good works. Those are noble spiritual goals. And that brings us to page number 3. This will kind of synchronize a little bit with your third page of your observation assignment. Okay? There are some things on this checkbox checklist page in your handout today that are not on this page. I ran out of room to keep it on one page, all right? But these are things that you can do. By the way, couples, it's great to work off each other. Look at a passage together. What do you see? What are some questions we can ask and go back and forth with each other and study it together? Key locations in the text. What are the key characters? This morning I'm preaching out of Luke chapter 10. One of the key characters is a lawyer. Another key character in the text is the Levite and the priest and the man that fell alongside of the road and the Good Samaritan. Boy, there's a lot of key characters in that text to research and investigate. And why did the Spirit of God choose to bring those people into this text? There's a meaning behind all of that. Purpose of the author. Why was the book written? A background book will help you with that. Is this a futuristic or a prophecy book? Because that's going to factor in to what you're reading. Are there repeated words? And as you're taking a text and you're looking at it, you are jotting notes down. Oh, this is what I see. Oh, Lord, you opened my eyes to be able to observe this. The ability to see in Scripture is a developed process. It's developed. I don't expect you to go and have 4 single-space type pages this week of everything you see in a text. But if you will watch this, you'll stretch yourself a little bit. You'll give an extra 5-10 minutes a day to, you know what, I'm just going to take time in this text and I'm going to look for different things. Maybe instead of reading something different, you read the same thing for 7 days. And you just take out your checklist and you just check off, okay, today I'm going to look at the historical context. Where does this fit in the Scriptures? Okay? Or I'm going to look at the connectors. I'm looking for but and nor. Why are those words there? Or today I'm asking questions. I'm just asking you, believer, just to stretch yourself a little bit. Not asking you to go from a daily bread devotional of 5 minutes to an in-depth Bible study of an hour. But if we never stretch ourselves beyond the daily bread, then our observation skills will never be developed beyond what somebody else observed. And God wants it. I'm telling you, it is a storehouse that's full. I'm telling you, when you walk into the Scriptures, it's like walking in and you take time to study them. You take time to stretch yourself. It's like going to the grocery store and there were favorites that you didn't know that were there. But you found them. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, I didn't know they made this. Stretch yourself. As we're in this class teaching on observation, would you commit to the Lord 2 things today as we close? Number one, I'm going to pray before I open my Bible. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, I'm going to be prepared in my heart. And then I'm going to stretch myself a little bit this week and the coming weeks in personal Bible study. I'm going to try what Pastor says. All right? And let's see what God will teach you in the coming weeks. All right?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.